she sang to the kids a lot, and we can say, praise the Lord, because both of them come to the light. Amen. Take your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Today will be our text, Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. We've been talking about the Spirit-filled relationships from chapter 5, verse 18, all the way to chapter 6, verse 9. We talked about these being Spirit-filled, the Spirit-filled worship at church. We talked about Spirit-filled relationships in regard to the marriage. And today we're going to talk about a parent-child relationship, the Christ-centered home, if you will. Remember the outline for the book of Ephesians, verses 1 through 3, talks about doctrine, our wealth, our riches. And chapters 4 through 6 talk about our responsibility, our duties, or our walk in light of the wealth that we have as Christians. You see, all of your behavior comes from what you believe. And if you believe right, you'll walk right. If you don't believe right, you will not walk right? And so that's what we're talking about today. What about the Christ-centered home? Now, let's note verse 1, if you will, if able to, let's stand in honor of God's word. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, it's interesting, that word in the Greek, it can mean parent, father. It could mean both mother and father. We'll see that in just a moment. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes from Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's the fifth commandment he's talking about. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, there's that word again. It could mean parents as well, the mothers and the father. It says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, I pray today that as we look at this text a little closer, that we'll look at the command to the children and we'll look at the command to the parents. And teach us today. Lord, I know many of us have children that are already grown and gone. But Lord, all of us here have maybe some parents that are still alive that we can still honor. And Lord, though our children may be gone and away, but we can still pour our lives out into our grandchildren as well. And I believe this goes as an admonition to the grandchildren, to the grandparents as well. So teach us today about the Christ-centered home. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today I note the command to the children toward their parents in verses 1 through 3. And then the command to parents toward their children in verse 4. Let's look at the command to children first of all in verses 1 through 3. And verse 1 we see the principle. Now look at the principle again in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I want to share two thoughts with you in regards to the principle. And we could say this without hesitation or without stuttering. Children raised in Christian's home have a great privilege. Amen? Have a great privilege. I often feel so sorry for children that I see that are not raised in a Christian home. They never hear the word God or Jesus or church. They never been inside of a church, and my heart goes out to them in that regards. But to be raised in a Christian home is a great privilege. Where God is known, Christ is mentioned, Christ is loved, the Bible's read and honored, and they hear the gospel at an early age. And y'all know this, mothers, you know this, even while your baby's in your mother's womb, sing to them, read scripture to them, you know. They can hear in the womb. And so there's a great privilege here. Children raised in Christian's home also have a great responsibility with that privilege as well. They are to obey their parents in the Lord. Now, if your mother and father told you to rob a bank, of course you wouldn't go rob a bank. That's not in the Lord, right? And so we would do that in the Lord. In other words, do what is right. It is right for a child to obey their parents. Man, as I see the home today, I see children who run the home. I see children who are the boss. I see children who dictate what happens and where they go and what they do. Well, little Johnny, you don't like your mustard? That's okay. You don't have to eat it. I'll go back in there and cook you something else. Amen? No, no. If they didn't eat their mustards, they didn't get nothing, right? And so we're in a home today where everything is controlled by the children. And I go into my car and back from my car out here at the church, and I see little kids. They ain't old enough to be out there walking on the street by themselves. And the parents don't even know where they're at, you know. And it's just heartbreaking here. But to have children raised in a Christian home is a great privilege and a great responsibility. And I would say to you, and you, of course you all do that because you're here today. But your parents might not have raised you in a Christian home, but you have a great opportunity to raise your family in a Christian home and bring them to church, right? I've been in some churches, you won't believe this, well, maybe you will, but I've seen them actually drop the kids off out here in the parking lot and go on off and come back later. Oh, man, I don't want to be in those parents' shoes come Judgment Day when that happens there. Children raised in Christian homes have a great responsibility. They are to obey their parents. The parents love them as a whole. The parents care for them. The parents have more knowledge and wisdom than the child does. Can I get a witness there? Right? And we all go through that, don't we? I went through it when I got about 12 or 13. I didn't want to be seen with my mother and father, you know, right? And I won't mention no names, but you have children that also, too, seems like when they got 12 or 13, they didn't want you around when their friends were around, amen? And I worked hard at running off some of those friends. Anyway, they know more than we do. And I believe that if I can use this as an illustration, one of the blessings in the hearts of me and Faye was when our children told us, you know, everything you taught me was right, and that we appreciate what you try to do. We might not have understood it at the time, but we appreciate that, right, church? Parents, you've heard your children say that, and that blessed your heart as well. But this command here, is very important, because if children will not obey their parents, they will not obey authorities in their life, okay? This is what's happening, folks. This is why you see what you see on the news. They've never been taught to submit to authority in their life. They never obeyed their parents. Their parents never disciplined them. Their parents never called them to obey their parents, because come up close, I got a news flash for you. A lot of the problem is the parents, right? The parents that need to go see the doctor. It's the parents that need to go learn how to raise a child, right? And so I blame the parents. And if I was in the school system, I would not last long. I studied in college to be a history teacher. I saw right away I couldn't be around all that kind of stuff. And because I would get in trouble. I would eliminate some of my problems, you know what I'm saying? And I just cannot take a parent coming into the room jumping on me when that parent is not the parent they need to be, right? There used to be a day when little Johnny got in trouble on the bus, and then he got in trouble at home. Now little Johnny is patted on the back, and the school bus teacher has her life threatened from her, right? And it's amazing. It's an upside. But I got to get off of that. I won't get mad in a minute. But this command here is for the purpose of teaching the child to obey authority. You ever notice that? It's not good enough to say, well, why have I got to do what you say? Because I'm the parent, you do what I say. No, we're teaching them to obey authority in their life, you see? And that's where it starts at. Failure to learn here will result in anarchy and rebellion to all aspects of authority, and it'll show itself as they get older in life. But at the heart of anarchy, at the heart is rebellion and rejection of God's word, right? So that's the principle. Now look at the precept, and we're going to share two thoughts here in verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, what? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Parents act as God's authority in the home, in the life of the child. They are agents by which God is teaching the child to obey the Lord and obey the commandments of the Lord. They are to honor their parents their whole lifetime, right? And even after they're grown and gone, and the mother and father is 90-something years old in a nursing home, they still honor their parents, right? Now, my dad wasn't the best dad in the world. He He was an alcoholic most of his life, and but I still honored him. Those some of the things he'd done to me, you know, I can't claim that as I got a warped personality or anything like that. I think I turned out just fine. I didn't let that hinder me, right? No matter how you've been raised, folks, that cannot hinder you. You go forward in the Lord, amen?
Amen?
And listen to him. But I honored him. Of all the four kids, I was the one at his deathbed when he died. And I was the one that led him to the Lord, you know? And he didn't serve the Lord his whole life. He didn't get victory over alcohol till the end of his life. But I honored my mother and father, and I'm honoring my mother. I am the only one that is her caregiver right now. One is in Hiawassee, one's in Brunswick. The ones in Brunswick could care less. But I'm telling you, it is going to be an honor and privilege to lay my head on my pillow one day knowing I did everything I could for my mother. Amen? So honor your mother and father. He said that your days may be well and long. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, I know somebody that honored their mother and father and they died prematurely, or what you thought was prematurely. Or they had this happen or had that happen. This is the rule. There are exceptions, okay? And I like it what one Bible teacher said here. A whole lifetime means to honor, to obey, respect, and to love. And in the latter days, to take care of their parents if necessary to do so. And listen, if you violate this commandment, it is a sin, right? Can I get that? It is a sin. See the promise in verse 3. Look at that again. That's where I wanted to go. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the face of the earth. The promise was given originally. This commandment was originally given to the Jews that entered into Canaan land. But Paul here applies it to Christians. And in my research, I found out this is one of the reasons why Israel went into the Babylonian captivity, because they did not honor their parents. And they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. But the principle is this, or the promise is this, the obedient child will live a happier, more stable life than the rebellious child. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? And that's what he's talking about here, that your days may be long. And again, the promise was given to the Jews originally. Paul applies it to Christians here. But they will have a blessed and rich life and live long. Now, there are exceptions to this principle. But the principle is that if you serve the Lord and you honor your parents and you have a happier life, then there's less chance of sin getting into your life and the dangers that come with it that shorten your life. That's what one Bible teacher said. And I like that. So we see the command to children. Now we're going to go to the command to parents. Boy, I wish I had those kind of parents I was talking about here today. By the way, the Creole funeral went well. Gospel was given, three songs and testimonies, and we were out in 30 minutes, you know. And they heard the gospel. I've got a lot of good comments from the family, and I pray it takes root in their hearts. But the command to parents, look in verse 4. And ye fathers, or parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Someone said that everything in the Christian home is controlled by switches except the children. Is that not right? They got apps on smartphones now. You can do everything in your home. You don't even need to get up out of your recliner. Right? Turn this off, turn that on, you know? I mean, it's just amazing. And I want to get me one of them video doorbells, you know? But all I'll be seeing is my two cats coming up there trying to get food. That's all I'll see. And, but it's amazing. Everything in the American home is controlled by switches except the children. Let me give you some of you, younger parents, word of admonition, it is okay to spank your children. The Bible speaks of that, okay? And you may not be in favor of it, and you don't want to do it. But there's a difference between spanking and child abuse, okay? And God give you the insight into that regard here, but it's okay. Now today, you spank little Johnny, he goes to school, he's mad at you, and he says, "Teacher, look at this on me." And next thing you know, defects is at your house. And all you did, what the Bible told you to do, right, is to discipline your child, right? And again, thank God for those that detect child abuse and call defects. I mean, the police, and that's good. And that's what they need to do. But the Greek word, again, here for fathers is used for parents as well. And parents have three responsibilities in our text. They're not to provoke the children to wrath. That means don't frustrate them and don't discourage them. Now, how do we frustrate our children? How do we discourage our children? Well, by being domineering, right? By being legalistic, by smothering our children. There are some children, I don't know how they're going to cope when they get out of the home. They've been smothered their whole life. And then inconsistent discipline, right? You discipline little Johnny for playing with the remote, you know, and then you don't discipline him when he does something else more severe. We got to be consistent in our discipline. And by the way, not on and off again. If you're going to discipline little Johnny for playing with a remote, then you need to do it every time he plays with a remote, right? And then we do it also by failure to model what you teach them. Drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette, and you're sitting there telling your children not to smoke or drink. That don't make no sense, does it? And then unreasonable demands. Favoritism. Showing favoritism between one child and another. We saw that in the Bible, didn't we? Failure to keep promises. You know, that's another way that frustrates and angers our children. And yes, we are to have authority. We believe totally in that, authority of the parents, but with love, right? Just the way we do other people and the way God does with us as well. So we're to not provoke our children to wrath. Look out also in verse 4. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to train your children. That's what the word means. Bring them up means to train them. And there's more. See, the purpose of spanking is just not spanking. It's a purpose of training and disciplining the children to mold them and make them a certain way, right? Trained by nourishing them to maturity, someone said. That's why God gave them to you. God gave you children to raise, right? He didn't give you children for you not to raise. He didn't give you children for them to raise you, right? And again, I run across parents that are so dumb, they need raising, right? I mean, I know in the school system, Miss Inez, y'all run across this all the time. You might not want to incriminate yourself, but I know it's there, right? You just want to turn around and slap a parent, right? That's why I'm not in the school system, right? I'd be incarcerated, right? But I get 3 square meals a day, amen? But I don't know who's going to be in the cell with me, you know? I could not function in that environment. I just feel sorry for y'all, you know, and what you have to put up with. And then, thirdly, we're to nourish their children. That's the whole training of the child, looking for them, their development, like we read about Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, 52. We want our children to be balanced in their growth, balanced in their mind, balanced in their physically, spiritually, and socially, right? We want them to be balanced so that they could begin to function properly when they're out there in the world, right? And just trust and pray that what we taught them will sustain them and be in their hearts that they will not submit to those kind of things. God has never assigned the raising of children to anyone. I want y'all to listen to this. God has never assigned the raising of children to anyone other than the parents. Other than the parents. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, just as God disciplines us, discipline in love and not anger. We must break their will without breaking their spirit. Discipline must be fair and consistent. And then lastly, look what it says in verse 4. To bring them up in the nurture, what? An admonition of the Lord. The instruction of the Lord. To instruct our children in the Lord. And to do that, you've got to know something about the Lord. Amen. You've got to know something about the Bible, right? You've got to know something about going to church, right? The church is a supplement to the home. It has never been the primary function of the church to raise your children. We are a supplement there to help the home, to instruct you, as we are today, how it is done, to instruct them in the admonition of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. In other words, teach them the Bible. And I can vouch probably for many of you. You read the scriptures to your children. You read them the Bible. You had Bible stories. You instructed them and you exhorted them. They went to school, Sunday school. They learned about God and Christ in the Sunday school. But even that, it's not the teacher, Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's not the Christian school's responsibility. It's not the Christian daycare's, but it's the responsibility of the parents to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Y'all know that, right? And today, we've misplaced that, okay? Instead of teaching them at home, we said, you go to school and learn. Instead of teaching them about God, we don't know God and we don't send them to church, right? Folks, it is your responsibility and yours alone to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Don't blame it on the church later on. The blame and the fault begins in the home. Amen? That's where it begins. Because all of us here have seen children that kind of went wayward for a while, but they've come back. Amen? And if you're here and you never had a wayward child, you are blessed beyond measure. It's nothing you deserve, right? But you are blessed in that regard. If you never had to put up with what some parents have to put up with, who, many, did raise their children in the church, okay? You can't pin no medal on your jacket, amen? Because once they hit the schools, they're open for anything, right? And you've got to guard them and guard them very carefully. Father, thank you for this instruction and the word of God, very simple, Lord. In fact, all of this in chapter 5, 18 through 6, 9, we've gotten away from. Lord, we need to get back to the basics, back to the Bible and what the Bible says. And just pour out the love of Christ in our children, bring them to salvation. Father, we believe that is the undergirding, that is the foundation of their life from here on out, is what they learned in the home. Lord, I just pray tonight for those children that are in homes that don't love God. They mistreat their children. You have fragmented and dysfunctional homes. You got women living with men. You got women living with men who are not their husbands. You got boyfriends who are living and abusing children. You got girlfriends who are living and abusing children. Very, very, very dysfunctional homes today in America. Father, we count our blessings if we're raised with a Christian mother and a Christian father and a Christian grandparents as well. And may we just not stop here, but may we try to be a godly grandparent to some child that doesn't know that, never experienced that. May we take them under our wing and mentor them in these things that they need to be mentored in. Thank you, Father, for the institution of the home. And that's where the problem is today. The home has gotten away from what it was founded for. We have Satan coming in, distinguishing, blurring the views between the biblical view between a man and a woman, and we are suffering because of it. So, Father, I pray for all these that are in these kind of homes today. Father, I pray that you send people in their lives to give them the light of the gospel, that might change their life, and they might go on and be different, start a new trend in their life and in their family's life and their heritage and their lineage. So, Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.